Hello there. This is Richard Allibone on webtalkradio.net. This week is about clairvoyance, telepathy or mind-to-mind. My guest, who has had this happen hundreds of times over the years, is of high intelligence and integrity and certainly does not make up stories. So now let's talk to Lucy.
Hello.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Lucy, my friend of many years, I have to
say. Must be at least 20 now.
Yes, and what it is. It is a long time. Anyway, and over those 20 years, we've discussed on the telephone on quite a few occasions the fact that you are rather different to the average man in the street. In fact, you are what I would term psychic. You perhaps don't like that term. Or do you?
Well, over those 20 years, we've had quite heated discussions about this, haven't we? I rather like your final conclusions that the paranormal is normal. I don't like to think of myself as different.
Mm.
And I'm not sure that I would consider myself psychic.
No, that's right. But others would, of course.
Others who perhaps are unaware of what each of us is capable of doing.
Oh, yes. Yes, but when one hears some of your experiences, which would not be considered normal, which are rather special, but normal to you, then that's how it is.
I believe. Others.
Yes. And now... I suppose getting personal, when did you start having strange experiences yourself? As a child, I guess.
My parents were very open-minded. They didn't poo-hoo things. And in that sense, I suppose, they were ahead of their time. So if I say that my first experience began with Granny... I saw my grandmother walking along the bottom of our garden. Our garden, I should explain, did not have any access, any rear access. And I saw my granny in the garden. And when I explained this or told my parents about this, my father flew out the door and went over to my grandmother's house and found her dead. She had been used to living in a large house and putting large logs on the fire, and she had attempted to do this in her new house, which was considerably smaller, and the log had caught the carpet alight and she had suffocated from the fumes.
Mm. It's interesting to me that your father understood the meaning of the sighting that you had.
Yes, I've always wondered about that, because my father was an agnostic, but very accepting of things that people told him. He was what you would call these days, I suppose, a countryman. And he never pooh-hooed anything that anybody said before he could definitely disprove it.
Yeah. So that to me, then, that is a fairly typical case of telepathy, where you picked up on the agony or the death of your granny, and it came to you as a vision, seeing her walking across the garden. Quite incredible.
I worry about the term telepathy still. It seems to be people's distress that I pick up.
Ah, yes. Well, that is, of course, it's classic telepathy, that it is emotion that becomes transmitted and received, and it is generally a distress among friends and family anyway. I mean, I know this because my wife's grandmother was exactly the same. She would pick things up and just knew that she was needed and would go off, you know.
And be on the most extraordinary and simple and even stupid things don't seem to have any rhyme nor reason or anything else about them. I think, well, why would I need to be given this signal, if you like, about something so trivial?
Yeah, but presumably it was emotional to the person concerned.
I suppose it was. I suppose that's true, yes.
Mm. And that's the way these things work. And when that's presumably the way you've learned that the things work, it's when it's the emotion which gets transmitted. Now, I believe your husband had an accident in the car. Perhaps you could tell us about that.
It was quite extraordinary. It was the only time I'd had what you might call a waking dream, or some might call it a vision. I don't know. All these titles seem a bit grandiose. I was working in my office. I had a rather strange physical sensation, which I couldn't begin to describe. And I saw, as clearly as if I were watching a television screen, I saw a car go into the side of my husband's car, the side that he was on which he was driving. I couldn't see whether he was injured, but it was quite some impact. I made a phone call to his office, and I was told that he wasn't yet back from lunch, and I asked that he ring me as soon as he got back into the office, which he did. And I said, "Are you okay?" His response was, "Well, where were you then?" when I explained to him what I had seen. It was exactly as I had described it. He'd been turning right to go into the office, and somebody had gone into the driver's side of the car, and thankfully he wasn't hurt. The car was very badly damaged, but he was okay.
Yes, that's and it must have made you feel rather strange.
It did. All these years that these occurrences, you know, have been there, I've tried to work out what it's all about. I feel I'm a fairly intelligent person, and I've tried to look for explanations, scientific explanations, but I've never been able to find any.
No. I've done that same exercise all my life, because I was taught at a very early age that in some way my mother and I could communicate. And that's what one has to get used to. The fact is, things do happen that way. Generally speaking, it's emotion, of course, which was so with, as you've said, very often it's something emotional which you pick up on. But that's not necessarily the case, because my own experiences have only been when I've been in a sort of heightened state of sort of excitement. And that's when it works for me. But these things happen very differently with different people. Now, I believe you had some dreams which have come true, as it were. One was about two children, which you told me at one time.
No. This was an experience that I found incredibly distressing, and would not want not that I have any control over it, but would not want to have any the same experience repeated. I suppose you would call it a nightmare. I woke up having had a very vivid dream about two children in a fairly dark room. They were sleeping together in a double bed, and at the bottom of the bed stood this dark figure, which seemed to be rather menacing. And the children were petrified, truly petrified. And I woke feeling, I suppose the only way you could describe it would be, I woke feeling their fear. Very, very scary experience that stayed with me for the rest of the week. I then picked up an article in the newspaper, and the article was saying that this couple, a responsible couple, well-educated, had gone out for the evening and did not want their children to get out of bed. And they had put at the bottom of the bed, I don't know if you recall, the Victorians used to have these figures that they stood in front of the windows, usually a coloured gentleman holding a tray, and it gave the impression that there was somebody still in the house. And they'd stood this figure at the bottom of the bed, and the children had woken up in a state of terrible, terrible anxiety by all accounts. And in fact, one of the children had died as a result, literally of shock. And there was a question of, would this be considered to be manslaughter? And it's just something that has stayed with me, well, for a good many years, probably about 40-odd years.
And this was reported in the newspaper, but you had picked up on it, presumably, at the time. And there again, it was the emotion, fear and terror which you had picked up on.
That's right. I mean, I read it in the newspaper about a week or so later. And it was just horrendous.
Yes, I can understand. Yeah. And then there's one other which perhaps you could relate. The budgie episode, which I...
Well, you see, this is an instance, as I was saying, that is so trivial and silly, and think,
yes,
well, what? Why on earth would I, if I am supposedly some sort of a receiver with these things, why would I have picked this up? Why me? I had this silly dream. And my dream was of a budgerigar, and the budgerigar had landed on a hot surface. It was in a house, and the poor thing, its feet had literally melted. It was like a hot plate that it had gone onto. I went to work, and the following morning, a colleague had said that there had been a terrible occurrence in her house late evening, and described exactly what I had seen in my dream. Now, I would like to think I was picking up the distress of my colleague rather than the distress of the budgerigar.
Yes, well, I'm sure you were. Yeah, but that's the way these things go, and it is quite fascinating. What I like to do now, Lucy, is to have a break and discuss the spoken to me, and then come and we'll come back again afterwards, and I'd like to talk about how you deal with these situations.
Okay, Richard.
Okay.
It's pretty clear that Lucy has repeatedly, over the years, had many experiences of things that she couldn't explain. The three that she discussed today were perhaps the most significant, but there were lots more, in fact, totaling several hundred over the years, which were mainly when she was younger. Her problem has always been trying to find out what it's all about. Why me, she asks. We've always discussed these things on the telephone, except for one email she sent me a few weeks ago. So I'll read it to you, as it's very interesting. For the best part of 60 years, I have found the various happenings more than a little disturbing, sharing them only with my nearest and dearest, in case I was thought to be cranky. There is no doubt that in some distant century I would have been burnt as a witch. To accept it as natural, but mostly buried in us, is totally acceptable and explains why some folk do not have any experiences at all. I think I accepted this many years ago, but it still begged the question, why me? My husband has a theory that some people are greater receptors than others, which is also totally acceptable, in the same way that some folk can read maps and others can't. I still ask, why me? I believe that if we have certain abilities, some might say gifts, then we have them for a reason. So what the devil is the reason? That's what Lucy wrote. What's the reason, she asks, do we have these abilities? Why is it that for hundreds of years these abilities have been recognised? I have to say that my hometown of Chelmsford in Essex was the last town where a witch was hung for coming out with her thoughts. But why is it that people with these abilities generally keep quiet about it? And then why is it that they have these abilities at all, which they do not understand? For me, the understanding is clear. Our bodies and minds all grow according to information carried in the ether from members of our species, and not entirely as written in our DNA, which is what we are told, but with DNA acting like a species and family telephone number, which ensures that we only accept the correct calls. This carrier is very important to life, as it ensures we are given all our instinctive information from other people. So it's not difficult to see how other information is carried from mind to mind. But of course, there has to be strict censorship, otherwise life would be intolerable. But that censorship does allow emotional information exchange between friends and family, which we can see is mainly what happens to Lucy. I call it telepathy, but biologists call it morphogenesis, and spiritualists call it clairvoyance or mind-to-mind. But I don't see any difference anyway. We all have a normal bank of instinctive memories carried there by telepathy, in the same way that Lucy and others like her do occasionally pick up the emotional thoughts of others by telepathy. I'm aware that this is a new and difficult idea to follow, but it very well explains Lucy's question to me, what the devil is the reason? So now, Lucy, we'll come back to you.
Perhaps we can carry on. You know, you've explained that you have difficulty in thinking about how this works. You don't like the word telepathy. How do you feel, or what do you say to yourself about these experiences?
Well, I agonised over them for a good many years because I wanted to understand. And no matter which angle I came from, I just couldn't understand. I could not find an explanation. And my husband finally said to me, well, I think you've got to consider yourself a receiver.
Mm.
In the same way that a receiver picks up airwaves from certain, you know, electrical components, that is exactly what you're doing. And you are a receiver and you just happen to be on that wavelength at that time, which is why there is no rhyme nor reason to the type of signal that you're picking up. And in a way, I found that comforting. And
yes, it was a very wise comment, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was. In other words, stop agonising over the whys and what fors, and accept that that's the way it is.
And have you done any reading about this to try and to get some understanding, or just?
Well, I've read, over the years, I've looked at various papers and books and bits and pieces, where people try to theorize over stuff, and it doesn't take long to pick up the message that these are people who perhaps have not had any personal experience or who are trying to deny the experiences of others. Mm. I've read your book and it's accepting, and I find it very comforting, as I said earlier, to think that this is perhaps something that we all have within us, but some of us are perhaps better attuned than others.
Yes. Well, I mean, you say some of us. In fact, it's only perhaps 5 or 10%, I suggest, that have experiences which they notice and wonder about. The majority of people go through life with positively no idea of these things. I know my own son. He was the editor of my book, but he's had no experience of telepathy and just cannot in any way visualize that it could be possible. And in the end, or in the editing episodes, he said to me once, Dad, don't send me any more. He couldn't stand it anymore. And a lot of people are like that. They just do not understand. But others have the experiences and have to make the best of it, which is what you've done over the years, I suggest.
Well, it's not something that I have any control over. I'm not going to be able to make it go away. I can't deny that it's there, but nor can I make it happen at will. My husband initially was not terribly convinced, before we got married. And it was only after being in my presence when various things happened that he joked about me being a bit of a witch and was aware that these things did actually occur.
Mm. Sixth sense is a term sometimes used, which is perhaps a little better than telepathy. It's not so scientific.
Telepathy to me seems to be something that happens simultaneously to the second. That to me is my interpretation of telepathy. Whereas the things that happen in my experiences are not always like that. You can pick up vibes, if you like, from places and people. But these things might have happened many, many years ago.
And there's just one little thing which I did want to ask you about. How do you cope with these ideas sort of mentally? We did discuss this sometime, and one could get neurotic about your children going away or...
Yes, it's difficult to... it could be difficult to disseminate maternal concerns for perhaps some sort of insight. But if I think about it, the feelings that I have as an ordinary worry have over the years turned out to be just an ordinary worry. If I were perhaps... I don't seem to have had dreams about future events. The events that I have dreamt about and the experiences I've had have been things that have occurred fairly close to that particular dream or experience. And so I think that, to be realistic, that's the way to look at it, that a concern, an anxiety is just that. It's a natural maternal thing, a concern or an anxiety. And because I'm the person I am who has these experiences, it would be easy to intermingle the two. My experiences with my anxiety, but I have to take several steps back and, as I say, accept that it is just maternal anxiety, give myself a firm shake and say, well, even if you didn't have these experiences, woman, you would still feel anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it does seem to be that the only things that you receive are emotional thoughts and behaviour and accidents and whatever seem to come through to you. That's I think, a sort
on
of
many
summary.
Occasions. Yes.
And it has on many occasions. Yeah. So it's been very nice to hear some of your experiences, and I would like to thank you very much for talking to me. We shall meet again. We meet
I'm
quite
sure
regularly.
We'll have lots of discussions in the future, Richard.
Okay, Lucy, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Our friendship has survived despite discussion and arguments as to how and why these things happen. But over the years, it has all made sense to me. One point that has puzzled Lucy is that of timing. She acknowledges that dreams and things do not predict the future, but telepathy happens simultaneously between mind and mind, as was obviously the case when she experienced her husband's car crash. Also, the case of the two terrified girls. But the budgie's experience would not have been transmitted to her simultaneously from the budgie, although her colleague was full of emotion over the incident. But sometime during the night, the thoughts and dreams of her colleague might well have carried to Lucy, who dreamed the picture of a budgie burning its feet, so explaining the problem of timing not being simultaneous with the actual event. Now I'm going to talk about telepathy itself. The power of telepathy is much more powerful than is generally realised, but it happens under rather obscure circumstances. These are when the receiver is quietly relaxed mentally and is focused on a particular thing, generally in common with the sender. It is much more likely between members of a family or friends, although a common thought pattern between strangers can be sufficient, as in mediumship, for example. Another thing is time of day. Telepathy is four times as likely when movement of the carrier is strong, which is only for periods of a few hours each day, and this time varies by 4 minutes from day to day. But having detailed these obscure circumstances, it has to be said that a person with an acute sixth sense, like friend Lucy, will occasionally read someone else's mind under any circumstances. All this information about telepathy, which is gradually coming to light, is quite reasonably known as the science of telepathy. One last thing I'd like to discuss is the way that clairvoyants deal mentally with these experiences. The first and obvious explanation is that it may be just coincidence, which would often explain trivial events, but not the type of thing Lucy revealed to us today. A mental state of denial can help to forget. Also, to be at a loss for an explanation is a convenient coping mechanism. So now I have to thank Lucy again for being so frank in her discussion with me today. I feel it needed considerable courage. As she said, for her, the paranormal that she has had to endure over many years is normal for her. Most of us are fortunately spared these problems. I hope I've been able to pass on some of my fascination for this subject, and that you've been interested in today's show. It's Richard Allibone signing off from webtalkradio.net. Tell your friends about these shows, and perhaps see my website, that's www.sublimity.org.uk. Bye for now.